Let's get to Jack McIntyre. Jack is the Global Portfolio Manager at Brandywine, who joins from Philadelphia. Thanks for being with us, Jack. It was all about the Fed, obviously, today. A lot of volatility in markets. I think participants are struggling to make sense of what they're hearing. One moment, Powell suggests, hey, we've got a long way to go before we're done. And the next breath, he seems to suggesting, hey, we might be near the end of the tightening cycle. There is so much tightening that's already occurred. Let's not forget, right? I mean, we've taken the Fed funds rate, or the Fed has, from near zero to around 4.5% right now. Are you of the belief that, the kind of the classical thinking here, long and variable lag, are we still expecting a lot more negative impact from higher rates, or is that less clear now to you?
So, I'm in the camp that there's been a tremendous amount of cumulative tightening of financial conditions. You know, we talk a lot about Fed funds, the policy rate, but there's been a tremendous amount of tightening in other areas as well. So, yeah, I kind of was thinking that the statement might kind of infer that, as opposed to ongoing, they might say additional rate hikes, something to kind of send a message that they were getting a little bit closer to the end. But I still believe that's going to be the case, because I think the economic data is going to take us in that direction. And I get it, the Fed and Powell in particular, they don't want equities to be off to the races and those sorts of things. They want to make sure inflation is definitely not just rolled over, but declined pretty meaningfully. But I expect to see that earlier next year.
Where do you place the risk of over-tightening?
Well, it is elevated, because I say it's elevated because as the Fed focuses on the employment market, then they, and that's their primary focus and rationale for tightening, then I think the odds of going into a recession are elevated. Historically, anything around the labor market is a lagging indicator for the overall economy. I feel as though this cycle, it's going to be an extra lagging indicator, because we know that companies struggle to find workers, and they're going to do everything they can to not let workers go until they get real clarity that things are slowing down. But away from that, we've seen signs of decline in inflation. But if that's the primary focus, the Fed, they're going to overcook it, and we're going to increase the odds of going into a recession.
Yeah, wage inflation, I think, is still an issue. You mentioned the labor market is very tight. I'm wondering whether we're not, and when I say we, I'm thinking of markets more broadly, whether we've underestimated the way in which the economy has been transformed, even before COVID, to step in and do as much as the Fed did, and then to realize that the technology that was available to American businesses, away from services, I get travel, I get airlines, hotels, right, but there were so many other businesses that were embracing technology that didn't, or that allowed them to continue to be productive. And I understand that the housing market has suffered badly as a result, because it's very interest rate sensitive, but maybe the economy has shifted and we are a little bit less interest rate sensitive right now. Is that at all a possibility?
Yeah, that certainly is a possibility. Just as though, we're less sensitive to the increase in oil prices as well. Eventually, they will have an impact, because, Powell, and I think the Fed in general, has been very good about the roadmap, knowing that, hey, things around goods are going to see deflation. Eventually, we're going to see housing service inflation decline, and then the core service is going to be the last thing that we'll see decline. But if we see weakness in those other sectors, then I think that will funnel through into service sectors as well. Again, this is very big picture, long term, but you will see more investment in automation, robotics, et cetera, those sorts of things, as well as because of this, because of the shortage in labor.
Nearer term, in the next couple of quarters, what sort of pressure do you expect these sustained high rates to be having on balance sheets, earnings, and consumer confidence as well?
Yeah, I think all of those factors as well. It's, we've been positioning our portfolio, adding treasury duration in the portfolio as an offset of that, because I think that the tightening of financial conditions that we've been talking about increase the odds of the economy slowing down. And, the Fed is very committed to making sure that they break the back of inflation. It's just seemingly when you put everything together, it's hard to come out of this with a soft landing in here. And I think that certainly is going to impact you know, what we see on the corporate sector as well.
Well, the Fed doesn't seem to be there yet. I mean, in the summary of economic projections, they're looking at positivity in 2023. If you have to go offshore right now, though, Jack, if you have to look to maybe areas in Asia to put money to work, are you less inclined to be exposed to the U.S. given everything you described? I mean, I understand you're being a little conservative here looking at the bond market, but if you need to capture a better yield, do you go offshore and chase equities there?
I would do that, and we are doing that in terms of our bond allocation as well, because I actually think what we're seeing is as the U.S. slows down in the end, what we've talked about, the odds of recession increase. But look at what China's doing. China is actually doing the exact opposite. And I get it. This is going to be a bumpy transition as they move away from COVID. It's going to be some version of two steps forward, one step back. But if you extend your time horizon, and it's very similar to what we did in the spring of 2020 because of the uncertainty around COVID then, but they're injecting more stimulus and we have a more favorable view of China. So the point being is that I think you're going to see a shift in relative growth. North America led by a slowdown in the U.S., but then Asia actually starts to get a little bit more traction led by China coming out of that. I think it's got, personally, it's got huge U.S. dollar implications. It's going to drive the dollar lower. It's going to push capital more into Asia. And also, I think in Latin America, some of the higher yielding markets as well. And then eventually, even Europe.
Do you have a sector-specific approach to China, considering how enthusiastic regulators often tend to be there?
So, you know, interesting. You know, I'm talking very constructively on China, but we don't have a direct allocation into China. I don't want to own their bonds if they are opening their economy. The currency is interesting, but I think there's other ways to be positioned to benefit from China's potential, you know, uptick as they move away from COVID. And that's just more in Asia currencies and Asia equities in general in our world, Asian, some of the higher yielding bond markets in Asia as well.
Jack, always a pleasure. Thank you for spending time with us and sharing your perspective on price action in markets, not just here in the States, but in the Pac Rim as well. Jack McIntyre is Global Portfolio Manager at Brandywine.